Tonight our topic is friendly fire. And as we think about friendly fire this evening, we're going to be thinking about, well, what is friendly fire, first of all? This particular topic kind of falls into the theme for the whole summer, that of a military. And every single topic, you know, is about a different military aspect of the military. And friendly fire is one aspect of the military that is not desirable. In fact, friendly fire is something you try to avoid. Friendly fire isn't friendly, to be honest with you. What is friendly fire? I want to tell you a story about a general from the Confederate Army in the Civil War. His name was General Stonewall Jackson, and he commanded a large battalion of men. He was around Chancellorsville, Virginia one evening, and he was pursuing the enemy, and he had pursued them to a degree, and he was trying to rally his men to go after them, and it was getting near dark. And he came back to his men, and his men mistook him for the enemy. And they raised their muskets, and they started firing on their own general. General Stonewall Jackson was wounded in the shoulder and in the hand, and they took him immediately to a doctor, and the doctor had to amputate the arm, and then he was able to take the bullet out of the hand, but then as he was recuperating, he caught pneumonia, and he ended up dying. And he died as a result of friendly fire. There's a picture up there of General Stonewall Jackson. And so friendly fire is really not that friendly. But you can't call it anything else because it's fire that's coming from your friends. Now, most of the time, this fire is not intentional. It's accidental. It's a mistake. But nevertheless, it still does great damage and it still does great harm. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. As Christians, we sometimes engage in friendly fire when we shouldn't be engaging in that friendly fire. And so we're going to be talking about two things this evening. First of all, some things that we do that sometimes we do these things and they're really friendly fire and we don't want to do them. And then the second thing we're going to talk about this evening is how to avoid friendly fire within our lives. First of all, we engage in friendly fire as Christians when we engage in backbiting. The Bible talks about backbiting, and it's a sin that we do when we talk about our brother or sister behind their backs. And usually this is done to somehow denigrate the person that we're talking about or to destroy another person's credibility or reputation, to hurt them in some way. And so backbiting is a sin that is friendly fire because it's coming from our own people. It's coming from our own brethren, usually. And we can avoid that. We can stop that. We don't want to be backbiters. Backbiting is listed among some of the worst sins in the Bible in Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. And I say some of the worst sins in the Bible. There's really no one sin that is worse than any other. But the fact of the matter is that backbiting is right there. And sometimes we tend to think, well, this isn't as bad of a sin as maybe something else that I could be doing. But nevertheless, it is listed in those lists of great and terrible sins in the Bible. Backbiting. Let's avoid backbiting. We engage in friendly fire when we place a stumbling block before our brother or sister. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." We don't want to be the kind of people that are always going about judging other people and saying that this person does this, this person does that, this person does this, this person does that. No, we want to be the kind of people that are loving and kind and sweet and accepting of everyone. And in judging people and in looking at some of the things that they do, sometimes we can put a stumbling block in their path. And we can cause them to even fall away further than perhaps they already are going. And so we don't want to put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in our brother or sister's way. We want to try to avoid that. Some of the examples of that might be, well, we don't go to that concert, maybe, that has some questionable things going on. Or perhaps we don't go see that R-rated movie that might have some questionable things in it, you know, so that we don't put a stumbling block in front of other people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we read, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And you know, we have great liberty in Christ. We have freedom in Christ to do many things, but sometimes there's brothers or sisters that don't think we ought to do some things that we know it's okay to do, but they just don't think we ought to do it. And so we need to give place to them in that regard and recognize that it is time for us not to be a stumbling block for those people. And then we can put a stumbling block in other people by deliberately engaging in sinful things. In fact, in the book of Revelation, one of the seven churches of Asia, Jesus said that you've put a stumbling block in front of the people because you have taught them to engage in fornication and to go after idolatry. Well, you see, intentionally doing something that's wrong is certainly putting a stumbling block in front of someone else. We don't want to be guilty of sending friendly fire to our brethren by putting a stumbling block in their path. We also don't want to be guilty of using others for our own personal benefit or gain. There's another way that we can engage in friendly fire, by treating our brothers and sisters as if they're just tools, you know, just people to use so that I can get something that I want. No, in fact, in Romans chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8, there the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth that they were taking one another to law, to a court of law, to resolve their differences so that they could get personal gain out of one another, so they wouldn't lose something. And the Apostle Paul tells them in that chapter, it'd be better for you to suffer loss than to bring a lawsuit against a brother or sister in a court of law before unbelievers. You see, that's using our brothers or sisters in a way that's wrong. That's engaging in friendly fire. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be involved in that kind of situation where those who are outside the church have an occasion to blaspheme because we're fighting in public with one another. No, that's not the way that we want to behave. So one way we can engage in friendly fire is by using others. We also engage in friendly fire when we practice infighting. Infighting. And the Apostle Paul talks about infighting in Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to open your Bibles and turn over to Galatians chapter 5, because this is a very important passage to remember when it comes to friendly fire and when it comes to treating our brethren the way that we really need to treat them. Galatians chapter 5 and starting in verse 13. This is what the Apostle Paul has to say. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that as Christians, we should be loving one another. We should be treating each other right. We should be recognizing who our neighbor is and practicing the golden rule, and therefore loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. But the people in the churches of Galatia were engaged in fighting with one another. and they were biting and they were devouring one another. And he said, take heed lest you be consumed of one another. You see, friendly fire can be so dangerous as to destroy the faith of other people. And we don't want to be involved in doing that at all. No, we don't want to be involved in infighting. We want to avoid that at all costs. And then, controlling. We engage in friendly fire when we try to control and manipulate other people. And I'm thinking about an example in the Bible of a man named Diotrephes. And you're going to find him in the book of 3 John. And you don't read about him very often, but when we do study about him, we see a man who was very controlling and who wanted to have the preeminence. And he wanted to be the one who said what the church could do and what the church could not do. John wrote to them in 3 John verses 9 and 10, and he says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, but he forbids them, and he casts them out of the church. What a sad, sad circumstance that some brethren would be so controlling that they would say, okay, this person can come into the church, but this person can't. And this person, well, I'm sorry, but you have to go. You're gone. Controlling, manipulating people. That is another way that we engage in friendly fire. But then finally, we also engage in friendly fire when we covet things that belong to other people, when we are envious of others and when we desire what they have. And I'm thinking of an example in the Old Testament of a man named David who saw Bathsheba over there bathing and he desired her. He coveted his neighbor's wife and he called to her and she came and they ended up committing adultery together and she got pregnant and as a result, then David had to do something about that. And so he called Uriah, her husband, from the battlefield in and he said, go lay with your wife. And Uriah was a very honest man. He had a lot of integrity and he said, no, while my brethren are out warring in the battlefield, I'm not going to do that. David tried to get him drunk and then to send him home to his wife. But even in that state of inebriation, he would not do that. And so David then wrote to his commander Joab, and he said, place Uriah in front of the battle in the hottest part of the fight, and then have the other troops withdraw from him so he will be killed. And David had Uriah murdered. But it all started with David's evil desires, his covetousness, his envy, his desire. And you see, that resulted in friendly fire upon Uriah. Friendly fire can be deadly. Well, what can we do to avoid friendly fire within our life? Let's think about that for just a moment. You see, we don't want to fire upon our friends. We don't want to fire upon our brethren, but rather we want to cease fire. And so let's think about that for a moment. You see, first of all, we cease fire when we love one another as we should. We talked about this in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. You've been called to liberty, brethren, but don't use liberty, your liberty, for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle John wrote these words that we just sang a few moments ago in this wonderful song that we have. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Yes, we need to love one another. If we do that, that will go a long way toward avoiding friendly fire. But then secondly, we need to help those who are weak in the faith. And the Bible teaches us that the strong are to help the weak, and that this is a way that we can avoid friendly fire. In Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. But then he says this, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You know, sometimes we get so involved in doing what we want to do and doing things that make us feel good. And there's liberty in Christ. We can do things that we want to do, but not to the exclusion of our brother, not to the exclusion of our neighbor, not in such a way that's going to cause a weak brother to stumble. No, we need to remember the weak and support them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. And so sometimes we have to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that which I want to do right now. I'm going to let somebody else do what they want to do so I can be a good brother or sister in Christ. And so we can avoid a lot of friendly fire by pleasing others, by pleasing our neighbor, instead of trying to please ourselves. But then third, we want the spiritual to restore the wayward. We can avoid friendly fire by having the spiritual go out and to let the wayward know that we love them, we care about them, and we want them to be with us, and we want to be in fellowship and have one another's fellowship together. We read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We can avoid a lot of friendly fire by going out and bringing other persons back into the fold, forgiving them of the things that they've done wrong, and letting them know that God's grace and mercy is available for them, and that we love them and we want them to be with us. In James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, James writes, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Oh, we can engage in friendly fire just simply by not going out there and seeking those who are astray and letting them engage in all the sin that they want to. And shame on us for doing that when we could do something about it. You see, friendly fire isn't just taking an active pop shot against someone else, but friendly fire can actually sitting back and allowing somebody to go to destruction when there's something we could do about it. And we don't want to engage in that. And so let's reach out to those who are wayward. Let's look to our friends and our neighbors who maybe haven't been as faithful as they need to be, and let's encourage them to come back and be with us and help them to learn and to grow and to be faithful to the Lord. We also can avoid friendly fire by talking to our brother when there's a problem. And this is something that I know a lot of times we're afraid to do, but you know, the Bible really does tell us to do this, and we really need to do it, and we could really avoid a lot of problems if we would just go and talk to our brother before things got really out of hand. And I know sometimes, you know, we're scared, and we have a lot of anxiety about doing this, and we don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? That's okay. As long as we are doing what the Lord says to do, as long as we're not letting our fears control us, as long as we're not allowing our anxieties to define us, it's okay to feel a little afraid. It's okay to have some anxiety, but we need to go out there anyway and talk to them. You know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find out that when you feel like you have a difficulty with one of your brothers or sisters in Christ, that it's really all just a big misunderstanding. And that things really are a lot better than you think they are. Because a lot of times we make up problems within our own minds, and we let worry and anxiety and fear take over. And that ends up destroying us, when all we needed to do was go and talk to our brother or sister about a problem one way or the other. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, "Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hears thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now that's what we all want. We want to gain our brother back. We want to be at unity with one another. We want to be in fellowship with one another, because that's what God's purpose is for us in His church. In Proverbs 25 and verses 9 and 10, the proverb writer says this, "Declare your case to your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Yes, you want to go one-on-one to someone else first to try to solve those problems and those issues. Because if you don't, if you start talking about it behind somebody's back, if you start engaging in backbiting, you're engaging in friendly fire. And we want to avoid that. And then finally, we can avoid friendly fire by not giving evil for evil. And this is so common, I think, among us, is that the first thing we want to do when somebody does something wrong against us is we want to react and do something wrong against them. And you know, that's not the right thing to do. Because that just perpetuates the difficulty. That just perpetuates the circumstance. Well, he talked bad about me, so I talked bad about him. No. That's not the way we should approach it. Instead of rendering railing for railing, we should be blessing other people. In fact, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now try this sometime and see what happens. When somebody does something to you or says something to you that isn't very nice, why, you just turn around and you be as sweet and kind to them as you can possibly be. And you see how it clears things up really quick. Yes, we need to render blessings to other people, even when they do us wrong. In 1 Samuel 24 and verse 6, David makes a statement that is incredibly amazing to me. And it's been one of the guiding principles of my life. And I've called upon this statement in many circumstances, in many situations. You see, Saul was after David. Saul really wanted to kill David and destroy him. And David had an opportunity to get back at him. Saul had entered into a cave, and David was inside, deeper inside that cave, and Saul was by himself, and David came up to him, and he could have killed him right there, but he didn't. He cut off a piece of his clothes, and he took it. And then later, he showed that to Saul, and he said, look how close I was to you. I could have taken your life. And David's friends asked him, he said, why? Why didn't you kill him? Why didn't you take care of the problem right then and there? And David answered this. He said, I will not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now that's a very important point, a very important principle. And it would stop a lot of friendly fire if we would just recognize that within our lives. Because let me tell you, the Christians that are sitting around us in this assembly right now are the Lord's anointed. They are God's people, and they deserve a lot better than to engage them in friendly fire. Let's avoid friendly fire at all costs. Let's not have it even crop up within our lives. Let's certainly avoid these activities of friendly fire: backbiting, putting a stumbling block before others, using others for personal gain, infighting, controlling or manipulating others, and being covetous of other people's things. And let's avoid friendly fire by practicing these things: loving one another, bearing with those who are weaker than us, restoring the wayward, talking to your brother when there's a problem, and not returning evil for evil. Now, if we can do these things, we can avoid friendly fire. Are you a Christian tonight? If you're not, you need to become one. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is God's desire for you and that is God's plan for you. He wants you to be part of His church, to be part of that great fellowship of Christians with one another that also have fellowship with Him. And you see, we're talking about avoiding friendly fire this evening because we know how precious that fellowship is. And we know how precious unity within the church is. And that's what we want. That's what we desire. And so this evening, if you would like to be united with Christ by putting Him on in baptism for the remission of your sins, then that opportunity for you to do that is present. And through hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of those sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being baptized, you can become a child of God. Be in fellowship with all the children of God and with God, and have unity with one another. And cease that life of firing upon those who are God's people, and begin a new life of living for Him each and every day. Are you a Christian but have been engaged in friendly fire? Then perhaps tonight you need to ask for the prayers of the church. And you need to ask for help in regard to some of these things that we've talked about in avoiding these activities of friendly fire, and and in helping you to mold your life in such a way so that you're going to be someone who is loving and sweet and kind and spiritual. Truly spiritual. Spiritual in a way that the world doesn't even know. And tonight, whatever your need may be, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.